Mamma mia, that's a spicy meatball.
That was not the Pac-Man sound. All right, well, that was fucked up. This is Pure Decking Show number 277 for Thursday. Sometime in 2017, I don't even know what day it is. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, pointing out how rigged the game is, and I forgot to write a joke for the opening tonight. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Cyberlard. Cyberlard, what are you drinking?
Black Box Merlot.
Very cool, very cool. We have Madman.
Hello. I'm drinking Kentucky, a peach barrel wheat ale.
Oh, okay. And finally, we have Mr. Syntax. What are you drinking, Syntax?
I have a weird local sea salt goes and some Triconal tenure.
Fancy. I'm just drinking Devil's Cut. Jim Beam Devil's Cut. Anyways. So, show's running late. Totally my fault because I got messing with the 3D printer. Didn't do the show notes until like 5 minutes before the show. So, yeah, it apparently takes me more than 5 minutes to do the show notes. And, well, whatever. So, Cyberlard came back, so we didn't scare him off last time. Although, I guess if he's been listening for a while, maybe that was less likely than I thought. so. Anyways, got a handful of people in the IRC. That, I guess we could read off the IRC, but then we'd be emulating old shows. I don't know that we need to do that. First story for tonight is from Torrent Freak, and I am not 100% certain how I feel about this one, so I'll just throw it out there and get you guys the gist of it, and then we can talk. Pirate Bay founder Peter Sund has launched a new privacy-oriented startup. Today, he is launching the domain registration service Ninjala? N-J-A-L-L-A. Ninjala, I guess? Or Ninjala? Which offers site owners full anonymity, shielding them from the prying eyes of outsiders. Think of us as your friendly, drunk, but responsibly so straw person that takes the blame for your expressions. In recent years, copyright holders have taken aim at the domain name industry, calling on players to take a more active approach against piracy. One of the often heard complaints is that website owners use Whois masking services to ensure their privacy. There are several companies dedicated to offering privacy to domain registrants, and today rights holders will see a well-known adversary entering the market. Former Pirate Bay spokesperson co-founder Peter Sund has just announced his latest venture, keeping up his fight for privacy on the internet. He's launching a new company called Ninjala that will help site operators to shield their identities from prying eyes. The name Ninjala refers to the traditional hut that Sami people use to keep predators at bay. Okay. It's built on tall stuff. Okay, I don't care about the damned hut. Helps people's domain names private. Anonymizers takes a different approach. With Ninjala, customers don't buy the name domain names themselves. They let the company do it for them. This adds an extra layer of protection. A separate agreement grants the customer full usage rights to the domain. This also means that people who are free to transfer it elsewhere if they want to. Torrent Freak spoke to Peter Sund, who said that the service is needed to ensure that people can register domain names without having to worry about being exposed. So, the joke of it here is that the domain name is officially the property of this guy's site, and then they grant you a license to use it, which you're paying for. The idea being that because they are the owners of it, they cannot be compelled to turn over Whois information. And I mean, granted, most domain registrars will let you pay the extra dollar and get anonymized Whois, but the company, you still own that domain. It's still your legal property, and the registrar will, like if they get a subpoena or something, they're gonna tell the government who owns that domain. So, given this is founded by one of the Pirate Bay founders, as far as spinning up piracy sites, that's probably fantastic. But DNS is used for a lot of things, and there's a lot of malware people out there who love registering all kinds of crazy-ass domain names. And if this makes it harder to shut down malware, then it's probably not such a good thing.
So my whole thing is, I don't know about y'all, but I've registered domain names and just put in, like, you know, I don't know, Bob, you know, McBobbersons.
People would do that? They would just go on the internet and tell lies?
And lie? Yeah. And I not even give a shit about paying the dollar to get it anonymized. Like, okay. Really?
Well, some of the registrars won't let you put give you direct control over what's in them. But yeah, you could. You could just totally fill out bullshit information.
Yeah. A little bit harder today, though, because there's some restrictions, like the prepaid cards. You actually have to register it to an actual name, so it's harder to get anonymized payment.
All right. Well, I didn't scroll down far enough. Does this guy accept Bitcoin?
Yeah, I'm like, Bitcoin? Bitcoin, anyone?
And not that Bitcoin is actually private, but it's a hell of a lot harder to track somebody down if they're smart about it.
Yeah.
Accepted payments. We accept payments via Bitcoin, Litecoin, Monero, Dash, and PayPal. One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah, I mean, I'll use it. Even if they take control over it, I really don't care, because it's something, if I'm going to use it, it's going to be something that I don't want people to know that it is associated with me anyway, right?
Well, I would assume that's the point, or even if people who know who you are, it's a DNS registrar that isn't going to buckle the pressure and shut down your website. That's actually what happened to
StormFacts.
Yeah, them. Thank you, Madman. The StormFacts. Stormfront. They after that guy ran through the crowd with a car, they said, "Oh no, you all are all hate speech, but so you can't have a website," which we talked about on the show, and I didn't like, because not that I have any agreement with their sentiments when it comes to the amount of color in your skin mattering for anything, but you don't get to just shut down somebody's free speech because you don't like what they're saying. And by doing so, by kicking off a company, by kicking off a website that you don't agree with, you've now practiced editorial. So any other website that holds views that you might find legally uncomfortable, you better go kick them off too.
So I have a little different view on this, because okay. I'm like, okay, cool. If it's my company, and this is why I'm like, okay, there was that big hubble blue, whatever the fuck, about the eat more chicken guy, Chick-fil-A, and them spending all of this money to the anti-LGBT.
Sure, I remember thing. What you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's a privately owned company. They can do whatever the fuck they want with their own company. I might not agree with it, so I'm not going to give them my money.
Sure.
But they're still within their...
Oh, I didn't say it was illegal. I don't think it should be illegal. Yeah. I just don't think it's good practice. Because it sets a precedent that... If the company has disagreement with your political views, and well, okay, I guess what I'm really worried about is the reverse precedent. So if I go register a domain name with one of the same DNS registrars that refused to let the Stormfront set up a website, and I put some really horrible, reprehensible thing up on that website, and it's up there for any length of time, just because the name's not as well known as you know, a leading hate group, I can then, you know, shenanigans, right? You can say, well, look, they didn't shut these people down. Obviously, they agree with their sentiment. So, you end up making it really easy to brigade and get websites shut down, even if they're not anywhere near as bad as a white supremacist website.
That's true.
It's precedent. It's not. It's certainly not legally binding. It's not like you have to do business with anybody. You certainly cannot be forced into doing business with anybody unless you're a baker. But I'm sorry, bad joke. But
I really like Chick-fil-A, though. They have good stuff. They're kind of forcing me to hate gay people, right?
It's what they deep fry the chicken in. Yeah.
Hold on. How did we get to AAA and running people over with... Okay, never mind.
Chick-fil-A. Keep up.
Oh, Chick-fil-A, not AAA. Never mind.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A doesn't like gay people.
Well, I mean, you need service AAA. After a rib punctures your tire, so I mean, you know.
Okay, so that's how we're bringing AAA into it. Yeah. And in fact, I just misheard Chick-fil-A.
Gotcha. Well, AAA here, what is it? It's the CAA in Canada.
Oh, now here's a point. Here's a real point. So this Ninjala site, if Stormfront wants to set up a website through them, are they gonna deny them?
I don't know. The Pirate Bay has always been about, well, they're supposedly been about the free exchange of information and ideas, other people's ideas, and not editorializing. So maybe.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just curious how this plays out because, I don't disagree with his sentiment. I like what, you know, I like the idea of what he's doing, but my first thought when I see this is going to be fucking abused.
They own the domain, and yes. You're just buying a license, correct?
From the summary I read, yes.
So if that's true, someone's going to buy a license, set up a domain, set up a website that's doing the most horrendously illegal things. And then when the feds come in, they're like, oh, well, you own it. So off to jail.
I mean, Pirate Bay, they just want the internet to be the Wild West again, you know?
I miss that.
And the pricing's not bad. 15 domains at... I misread this. Never mind. Yeah, so they've got a whole bunch of different... Oh, okay. I misunderstood. Now I see what it is. So, when you buy it, you get your top level domains for so much a year, and they've got different sets of them. So they've got like a whole list of a bunch you get for like $15 or $30 a month or a year. I guess these are EU. This is a euro dollars. So EU happy bucks, I guess, whatever these things are called these days. I forget. Monopoly money? Is it Monopoly money? Anyways. But yeah, so it's like you register like a .com, but you're also going to get the .be, click, club, EU, IN, link, net, NL, org. And that's for 15. They said the 161 for 45. I suppose you could have a lot of fun registering like trademarks since you don't own them. They own the trademark? Are they now participating in trademark violation if I go register, I don't know, a Disney movie character's domain name or something? I'm trying to think what I would even do.
I don't know. Didn't the list of domains that Disney owns and a lot of the big companies own is ridiculous?
Well, that's because back in the early 2000s, they sued the crap out of anybody who had something even remotely similar. Hell, there was a poor guy named Mike Rowe who wrote software, and his company was named Mike Rowe Soft, and he got his ass sued. So,
even though the largest part of his front page site was just saying, "I'm not Microsoft," and then it was the advertisement for his site. So, like 2/3 of his the front page of his site was saying, "I'm not Microsoft."
So, So, yeah, that was hilarious, but I guess trademark is what it is.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's go ahead and move on to news stories here. It's probably going to end up being a bit of a shorter decking tonight, but we started late, so, yeah. Sorry. Anyways, next one up is from the BBC. Apparently, in Argentina, failing to patch struts wasn't Equifax's only problem. cybercrime blogger Brian Cribbs said that an online employee tool used in the country, in Argentina, could be accessed by typing admin as both the login and the password, joining the ranks of Netgear routers everywhere. Or Linksys. No, Linksys is admin password. Linksys is what they changed it to now for the default. I think it's still Is Netgear still admin? Does anybody remember?
Lots of times it's no username and admin is your password.
Yeah. So, he finally added that, he added that this gave access to records that included thousands of customers' national identity numbers. Last week, the firm revealed a separate attack affecting millions in the U.S. After being notified of the latest breach, Equifax temporarily shut down the affected website. We learned of a potential vulnerability of the internal portal, or of an internal portal in Argentina, which was not in any way connected to the cybersecurity event that occurred in the United States last week. All their dirty laundry is coming out now because it's a... I believe this is called Jump on the Wounded Weasel. So we immediately acted to remediate the situation, which affected a limited amount of information strictly related to Equifax employees. We have no evidence at this time that any consumers or customers have been negatively affected, and we will continue to test. And God, it must be hard to job hunt right now if your resume is like 5 years at Equifax, especially if you're like in their IT department.
Oh God, yeah, that would be one of the two executives that sold off a bunch of stock beforehand.
Yeah, those guys
they already sold
jail.
Their stock.
Oh yeah.
I looked into it a little bit. These were planned sales of stock that they did because they had like stock options in the company. It was the earliest they could sell some of it. So
yeah.
They probably really didn't know when they first planned to sell it, but they were probably really happy about the timing on it. So, but public sentiment being what it is, these guys are going to jail. Some well-meaning Democrat is going to go after this company and try to burn them to the ground, a la Enron. Let's see.
But the real question is, should they be?
Well, they should definitely be after them. I don't know about... So, jail time gets interesting quick, because...
Yeah.
Whereas Equifax was negligent. I think that's a fair statement. They weren't the ones that distributed the data. Somebody broke into their systems. Now, the fact that they were keeping them in a poorly secured system has to mean something, but I don't know that it's jail time. But they're not 100% at fault because somebody attacked their systems. From a cybersecurity standpoint, it is victim blaming. It's like they're the ones who got hacked, but it was,
yeah.
You know, of course, everybody else's data, and the fact that their response to it has been so epically terrible. Like, yeah, well,
that,
free
there's not really a lot they can
and
respond
you have to agree
to.
Not to sue us. I'm sorry, go ahead, man.
But on that, there's not a lot for them to respond to. They can only really offer credit monitoring.
And, well, what really needs to happen is we need to help people quit using fucking social security numbers as an identifying trait, because that's mostly the biggest thing that got out.
Well, anymore, I mean, no one's social security number is safe anymore. It's
well,
with
so
all
many,
of the breaches.
Oh yeah, just, so many places uses it's out there.
Yeah, burn it down. Start with something new.
So hell, I'm half tempted to go punch social security numbers into Pastebin and see what comes back.
Fingerprints. Fingerprints are good usernames, not passwords. Use that instead.
Yeah. Well, and I mean Pastebin, GitHub. You'd be surprised what you can find on Git.
Oh,
I'm scraping up my fingerprints a lot, so I might be cheating myself in the foot right now.
So...
Your username was not recognized. Did you mess up your fingerprint somehow?
Well, here's a paste from 9 hours ago. That's somebody's phone number, but it happens to... Huh. Yep, that's that looks like a... That's probably Equifax data. That's funny as hell. It just happened Facebook? To be a number collision. It wasn't a social. It was a phone number that collided. But I probably shouldn't be looking at other people's social security numbers just because I happened to pull one quickly. Anyways,
I mean, as long as you're, I'm. Never mind. Continue on.
Yeah. No, it's totally fine. It's
research.
Totally fine.
Research.
Yep, that's what it is. So,
you know, but then again, that
the fact
keep
that
I'm
safe. The mayor may not have lists of former. Anyways.
Yeah.
Problem with the chip in your license, Sacrosa suggests putting a chip in your license. The reason the Social Security number is used in the U.S. to identify people, it's the only identifying number that isn't recycled and is universal.
Yep.
So if you want to replace the Social Security number, you're not replacing the problem, because you're still going to have a universal identifier for everyone in the U.S., linked to you for the rest of your life. So you'll just have a social security number. You're calling something else.
I think they should hash everything.
I was getting ready to say you could almost apply some of the blockchain cryptocurrency stuff to identifiers.
Oh yeah.
For numbers that never change. That might be a way to do it. So. Especially because then you've got public-private key crypto, and as long as you never reveal that private key, because there are ways to do that kind of authentication where you encrypt with the public key, and they only get the private, and the private key can you decrypt, but that would be expensive and difficult, and so that's never going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, and then you know you would find something like Mimikatz to start decrypting social security number hashes.
No, you would just find some dumbass service that required people to give up the private part of the key to verify and storing it, and then they'd get another dump. So. Next article. Oh, go ahead, Mevin.
I was going to go, a way of limiting this, go back to manual underwriting, and then you don't have three huge companies that have all of your data.
Well, you know, I'm betting you're going to see, Equifax as a name is probably, well, so in my head canon, as a name, it's probably done. What's likely going to happen is they're going to quote unquote sell it to a quote unquote new company, which is going to be the same board of directors and same shareholders or major ones anyways. And they'll just sell it off, and what they're really doing is a fancy way of changing the name so that, you know, they can claim it's new and different and more secure, and it's really the same shit. But at least if they care about damage control, otherwise they're going to try to salvage the name and just be like, yeah, well, you know what? Consumers aren't our customers. Consumers are our product. So, yeah, fuck you guys, which is probably the more likely.
Yeah, I'm like, that's what's going to happen.
I'd like to think there's some elaborate corporate, you know, scheme where they're, you know, phoning up a bunch of shell companies to transfer ownership around to hide the fact that it's the same damn company.
What they're going to do is say, does anyone need to do a credit check on Bob? Because we're going to do credit checks on Bob for anyone who wants us to.
Mm-hmm.
Did your check go through? Oh, sweet. They might have to do a discount. Maybe.
A discount.
Like, instead of charging you, I don't know, $1.75, we'll charge you $1.
Yeah, because it's only one of two. Although, if the other two are smart, they're going to be running specials at the moment, trying to run Equifax out.
One of three. Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian.
Oh, I was thinking that... Right, getting ahead of myself. I was thinking if they made Equifax go away, there'd be two left. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So this next one is from Adweek and it's hilarious.
Your ad week.
The tell people what I do. Damn it! Okay, Madman, you remember that complicated shell game of companies we were talking about a minute ago? I get to do that now. Thanks, like, thanks, Syntax. I lose millions in trading fees. Anyways, the biggest advertising organizations say Apple will sabotage the current economic model of the internet with plans to integrate cookie blocking technology into the newest version of Safari.
Oh, you're going to have to remember your password, bitch.
6 trade groups. The internet. So, everyone get out your notepad. These are the assholes on the internet who think pop-ups are a good thing. The Interactive Advertising Bureau, American Advertising Federation, the Association of National Advertisers, the 4As, and 2 others. The 2 others that paid Adweek, not to name them. Say they're deeply concerned with Apple's plans to release a version of the internet browser that overrides and replaces user cookie preferences with a set of Apple-controlled standards. The feature, which is called Intelligent Tracking Provision, limits how advertisers and websites can track users across the internet by putting in place a 24-hour limit on ad retargeting. In an open letter expected to be published this afternoon, the groups described the new standard as opaque and arbitrary. You know, unlike your advertising standards and cookies and bullshit. Especially you guys that decided flash cookies were a thing, you can just fuck right off. warning that the changes could affect the infrastructure of the modern internet, which largely relies on consistent standards across websites. Since when have advertisers ever given a 2 shits about consistent standards? The group says the feature also hurts user experience by making advertising more generic and less timely and useful. So how's that any different from today? Apple's unilateral and heavy-handed approach is bad for consumer choice, and is it now? And bad for ad-supported online content and services consumers love. According to a copy of the letter obtained by Adweek this morning.
Wait, did they just say that it's going to block things that consumers love?
Yep. This is sort of like Apple themselves, if you've seen the announcement for the iPhone X, claiming they invented wireless charging and that it's never been done before.
Yeah, I saw that. Okay.
You know, when a 10-year-old Nokia phones had that shit? Yeah. It's like, we are the only phone with 2 cameras. My Note 8 disagrees. Just saying. And guess which one I had first? Oh, fuck.
My Galaxy, what the fuck, that's now older than dirt, has 2 cameras.
Well, on the same side.
I mean, how would I have found FabTitans.com without ads, you know?
Yeah.
The world wonders.
I wonder to know if that's a site now.
I'm certain it is, and I'm smart enough not to punch it into my web browser. But not you go right ahead, Madman.
I've
you
got let me private know. Browsing. Google won't keep track of that, right? It's got the mask on it.
Oh, yeah, because incognito mode on your browser is legitimately, like, 100% secure and private, like no one will ever know what's going on there.
Locally, but not, you know, Google will still know.
Oh, Madman, you remember that conversation we had about virtual machines? Now might be a time for you to recall that.
Crap, brain, I shouldn't have been drinking. VPN, yes. I'm going in through another machine. You think I'm Bank of America, bitch.
That would actually be really fun to have a VPN concentrator inside Bank of America that Bank of America doesn't know about.
Yep.
Oh, that and would be awesome.
That's the one I'm keying in all my questionable websites to.
Or Raytheon.
Here we go, finishing more of this ridiculous statement. Blocking cookies in this manner will drive a wedge between brands and their customers. It'll make advertisers more generic and less timely and useful. Put simply, machine-driven cookie choices do not represent user choice. They represent browser manufacturing choice. Where's the thing? When Apple first announced the limitations to cross-website tracking in June, the company said the changes are meant to improve trust with users, explaining that users feel that trust is broken when they are being tracked in private sensitive data about their web activities acquired for purposes they never agreed to. Apple did not immediately respond to Adweek's email about the development, and it's not the only company making big changes to its browsers. This summer, Google began testing an ad blocker within Chrome that could be used more broadly next year. So they've got the full copy of the letter. It's more the same bullshit of how advertising is wonderful and consumers love being tracked, and no, no, those aren't barcodes on the back of your head. Yeah. It's kind of cool that Apple's going in saying, yeah, cookies can't live longer than 24 hours. I think Madman's right. You're going to have people complaining they have to keep re-entering their passwords, but that's what LastPass is for. Or well, about 100 other services.
Yeah, LastPass or any of those. And how much do you want to bet that Safari is going to start storing passwords instead of in cookie form in some other form?
Oh, certainly. I mean, all they got to do is just remember it and log you back in.
Yeah. Which opens up a whole new attack surface.
Oh, I can't wait for this. It's going to happen somewhere. On a Mac somewhere, an old person's going to call up desk support. My favorites are missing!
Oh, no.
I kind of got a chubby thinking about this.
Oh, the poor... What do they call those guys? The Mac geniuses or the stupid...
Minimum wage employees?
Yeah. Yeah, those guys. I feel kind of bad for them. Well, because one, they have to work with Macs all day.
Why? They're all brainwashed. They don't care.
Yeah,
yeah, but I think they get free vape pens.
You mean a douche wand?
Oh, my God.
That was fantastic, man.
Here's your fedora and your vape pen. Welcome to Apple.
We and meet at Starbucks every other hour. Cycros, I doubt any of the Apple employees are as cool as you. No.
Wait, is Cycros a Mac fanboy?
No, he's making a joke about what's in his vape pen.
Oh.
We're calling it a joke because it might otherwise. We are acknowledging the joke.
Yeah, the joke. Okay.
So, let's see. Next one up. Get ready for Bitcoin to make another resurgence. Your Windows has been banned. Malware is back. And this time the attackers are demanding $50 in Bitcoin from victims to regain control of their locked Windows system. Of course, anybody who's been paying attention from Bitcoin, it went down from 5,000 to 4,000. Apparently, there's some people who said Bitcoin's a bad investment, and so it hurt some of the value of it. But since malware's coming back out, yeah, I'm sure it's going to surge back up again. It is worth noting that this is the second appearance of this malware. The scam has been designed to install rogue.tech support malware into computers. Previously, it was identified in 2016 when it tricked victims by sending out messages that their their MS Windows installation was halted for violating terms and conditions of Microsoft and Windows. Back in 2016, the ransom message asked victims to make a call to a technological support number of Microsoft. Technological. Is that really what that says? No, it says technical. Why did I read that? This is the number. This number actually routed them to an individual selling irrelevant and unnecessary services, while the user ransom was $100 for a new Windows license. The malware's second installation tries to trick users of Windows OS into using a different technique, where a message "Your Windows has been banned" appears on the computer's lock screen when the PC is booted, and the attacker gives the victims two options. Buy a new key for $50 or delete the data and just ruin your PC. Just format your drive. According to the Markle, the attack mechanism shows that novice PC users are key targets since only beginners would fall paid. Yeah, okay. Bullshit. I worked at a university for a while. There are professors who fall for this shit.
Are you going to say they're not novice computer users?
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, just because they have a PhD doesn't mean that they know how to work a computer.
They taught technology, for God's sake.
Okay, so that one doesn't have an argument. But I've seen doctorates in feminist studies. You're going to tell me that person learned anything useful and could possibly still be classified as human?
Well, I mean, we don't know what they were doing when they weren't in class, so maybe. I mean, it's possible. I'm not going to say it didn't happen, but probably nothing to do with the classes they were taking.
Okay. I'm still waiting for the, we won't tell anyone you're a pedophile if you give us $50 to come back.
It was more than $50. It was more like $400. But they wanted green packs at the time, which I don't think those are a thing anymore.
Green packs.
Yeah, it was like a prepaid debit card that you would then give somebody the number and they could. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those. I remember hearing that drug dealers liked to get paid in those.
That's what I was saying earlier. You have to associate it with your ID in some way. You have to prove that you're a person.
On those. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Then why'd they like them?
Well, you didn't you didn't used to have to prove you were a person to get them.
Oh. No, this is like in the past year or so, or year and a half or two.
And yeah, there's still a few where you can. They just limit the amount of money you can put on them.
Yeah.
The green packs were pretty much a debit card with multiple $1,000 limits on them. You can still get the Visa gift cards, but they max out at like $200, I think.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, you can still set up a track phone without giving them any information about who you are whatsoever, so.
Yep, and if your drug dealer doesn't mind getting 5 or 6 individual prepaid debit cards instead of one, you can still get a kilo of cocaine. Not that I've looked into this, ever.
Yeah, not that we would ever do such a thing.
Oh, no, I fully set up. I was setting up track phone the other day. I had an old cell phone I was getting working out because I just wanted a backup phone number for some, I believe the word is shenanigans. And, you can totally set one of those things up by just, you know, paying cash in the store, getting the $20 card and a $1 SIM card. And you activate the thing. You don't have to tell it anything. You just say, I don't want to make an account. It sets it up. That's it. Gives you a phone number.
You know what the funnest thing to do with one of those is?
Screwing with all the people who call it trying to find their drug dealer.
Well, not only that, but when you set them on fire, when you're done with them, I always giggle because it's a burner phone on fire.
Oh.
Not that I would ever use one.
Yeah,
you can get burner smartphones now. Turn the hotspot on when you're done with that sucker. Leave it somewhere and see how many people you can track.
It's true. Like, to get into my gym now, I have to use a burner phone because they want me to install their stupid app. And I'm not going to install that shit on my real phone.
Well, there's Wi-Fi pineapples for rogue access point stuff. Again, not that I would know of anything like that.
I usually don't bother with a full pineapple. It's just as easy just to set up a little raspberry. And anyways, yeah. And I guess it depends on what you're trying to pull.
Yeah, and next, if you ever want to see anything interesting, just type in Wi-Fi cactus into Google Image. It's amazing.
As long as it's not Wi-Fi goatsy.
No.
Like, well, no, well just, they hit. Well, we know where they hit the access point.
just imagine 24 Wi-Fi pineapple tetras as a backpack.
Oh, that's funny. I don't know what you accomplish by having more than a couple of them. I guess it's one per channel, but
yep,
it's still,
that's what it is.
Like, you know, people really only use a handful of the channels. I mean, come on.
It's monitoring every channel with zero loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're going to collect the data, you may as well collect all
of
it.
The data.
Yeah.
What did he see? All of the things. Why do you think he's curled up on the floor, rocking back and forth?
Yeah, right?
Oh, of course, that's everyone's usual experience the first time they see everything that goes across the network.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't know what kind of websites Grandma looked at.
Surprises yeah. me what goes over work and public networks.
Oh, public There's networks are shit hilarious. There's some shit I
don't think you would ever look at in a Starbucks.
There is a fantastic picture that floats around every once in a while. Back when libraries, you know, used to let people do whatever the hell they wanted on the computers. Most of them nowadays set up kiosks, but yeah, just in full view of everybody, an old man sitting there looking at hardcore. It's just like, damn.
I mean, if you're gonna go, go hard.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, next article is from the Washington Post. The U.S. government on Wednesday moved to ban the use of Russian brand software security by federal agencies amid concerns the company has ties to state-sponsored cyber espionage activities. In a binding directive, Active Homeland Security Secretary Elaine Duke ordered that federal civilian agencies identify Kaspersky Lab software on their networks. After 90 days, unless otherwise directed, they must remove the software on the grounds that the company has connections to the Russian government and poses a security risk. So they are literally, the government is literally ordering agencies to uninstall Kaspersky. And at one point, Kaspersky was one of the best malware research labs out there. I don't think their reputation is quite that good anymore, but did the Russian government actually buy in or like take over part of Kaspersky when I wasn't looking? Did I miss something?
I don't know, but that's what it sounds like, and that's what it looks like.
Yeah. Department of Homeland Security is concerned about the ties between certain Kaspersky officials and Russian intelligence and other government agencies, and requirements under Russian law that allow Russian intelligence agencies to request or compel assistance from Kaspersky to intercept communications transiting Russian networks, the department said in a statement. The risk that the Russian government, while acting on its own or in collaboration with Kaspersky, could capitalize on access provided by Kaspersky products to compromise federal information systems directly implicates U.S. national security, which is probably true. So why are you also running Microsoft or any other international software company? I'm dead serious. If you're going to say that we can't use Kaspersky because the Russian government has influence over them, the Chinese government has compelled both Microsoft, Google, Apple, and a couple of other big-name companies, Facebook, to turn over source code.
Yep, and
you know, the fact that also
Windows
source
you buy
over
in Europe and China is separate from the Windows you buy here for a couple reasons. One, it's illegal for any software that supports 132-bit encryption to be exported from the U.S. Second thing, those businesses...
It was. The encryption as a weapon was repealed a year or so ago.
Okay, good.
The second reason is they're actually incorporated different. Microsoft in China, it is a different...
Madman, you muted right as you were saying Microsoft in China. Madman?
I'm sorry, a cat jumped on my keyboard and locked me out of my computer. I had to...
Cat on keyboard!
...type back into my password and shoo it away.
What did you have to retype in?
My password for my computer.
And what was it?
Bob, fuck you, Bob, with a smiley face somewhere in the middle of fuck you and Bob. But they're separate business entities, which is probably something Kaspersky has done if there's a Kaspersky America. They can even go so far as having different shareholders.
Well, so does this mean that Best Buy is now going to get blacklisted from government things.
Because they're selling Kaspersky.
Well, so Kaspersky and Best Buy had this huge agreement when Kaspersky first came to the U.S. that they were distributing their software basically for free with every new purchase of a laptop or computer, whatever. And so they were selling them. They're like, here, we'll give it to you guys for super, super cheap if you give it out and I'd like a 6-month free or whatever, because then people are going to continue to pay for it because it's already loaded. So does that mean that Best Buy is now colluding with the Russian government?
Well, it gets weirder. Company said in a statement Wednesday that it does not have any inappropriate ties with any government, which is why no credible evidence has been presented publicly by anyone or any organization to back up the false allegations made against the company. It also said the Russian law requiring assistance does not apply to the company. Well, if they're incorporated in Moscow, their government might have an argument with them. Kaspersky Lab has never helped nor will help any government in the world with its cyber espionage or offensive cyber efforts, and it's disconcerting that a private company can be considered guilty and to be proven innocent due to geopolitical issues. Kaspersky said the company looks forward to working with DHS as Kaspersky Lab ardently believes a deeper examination of the company will substantiate that these allegations are without merit. The department has given Kaspersky 90 days to prove its products are not a security risk to mitigate the concerns. We've determined that Kaspersky software poses an unacceptable amount of risk based on our assessment, said Christopher Krebs, a senior DHS official in the National Protection and Programs Directorate. If they want to provide additional information or mitigation strategies, our door is open. The directive comes in the wake of an unprecedented Russian operation to interfere with U.S. presidential election, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, now that part's bullshit.
Yeah, how would a virus and security software prove that? I mean, they're going to be getting the data, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's going to be data flows. And because Kaspersky operates out of Russia. I mean, they all of their servers are in Russia. You know, it's not like DHS is completely off base with these claims. Do I honestly think Kaspersky has done anything like this? No, probably not. But they operate out of Moscow. It's not entirely infeasible that the Russian government could coerce them into doing something horrible. Because I say this because our own government has tried to pull this shit. They've tried to coerce Google and Microsoft into doing things. We talked about it on Decking several times where Microsoft was fighting the government in court because they were subpoenaed for stuff that was held on Microsoft servers in Scotland.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's not so much whether Kaspersky would fold or not, it's what government wouldn't try to take advantage of that.
The TLDR is that Best Buy is they're a bunch of Trump supporters, right?
No, they're a bunch of Russian colluders, from what I understand.
Yeah, so they're Trump supporters.
That's one and the same, isn't it?
Meh.
I've really, really started liking sauerkraut and borscht. I mean, I know that's kind of German and Russian, but they're all commies, right?
Yeah.
Depends on which side of Germany.
The good one? I don't know. Which, again, depends on where you're looking.
If Department of Homeland Security is really concerned about this, they just need to develop some shit in-house.
Well, where I was kind of going with the whole why are you relying on Microsoft then thing, because these international companies you could have pressure put on them by any government. I think the real answer is, if you are using public funds, you should probably be running public code.
Absolutely.
Not saying that we should be able to audit every piece of code the government writes and runs. But Somehow I feel like they should be running Red Hat. It's just me. I feel like the government should be making serious investments in Red Hat. I don't know why. I just, that seems like the one.
I mean, I get it. You know,
Red Hat, BSD.
I try to self-host everything, so if I can do it, I think the government has funding too, although you know, $50,000 for a toilet, we might be out of tax money by then.
You know, paying for that free software there.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if several government agencies started hiring Linux experts, dude, you would see such a boom in IT economy. I mean, not that it's hard to get a job in IT today, but I could see a lot of people be willing to go, oh, what, they're going to fund servers and let us use open source? Hell yeah. So, but
a lot of local governments are going that way. I mean, at least with like website stuff, and you know, here in my area, a lot of the local transit and stuff like that, they're using open source. They're using, they're switching to Linux. They're switching to using Drupal and different open source software like that.
Oh, sure.
To do their stuff because, hey,
well, a lot of this stuff, it makes good sense. It truly does. I mean, if you want to talk in terms of operating system design, Unix has trumped the Windows-based systems for ever. I mean, so, I mean, granted, I'm saying this sitting on a Windows workstation right now, but it's you know, the Unix has been the operating system design of choice for a long time, whether you're building a system or just putting something together that's not, you know, wide fucking open when it comes to malware and getting hacked.
Well, so, and that's not to say all Linux systems are that way.
No, I'm talking generics. I'm simplifying.
Yeah, because, like, take a look at BusyBox. That's all I have to say.
Well, I mean, sure, if you go run Hannah Montana Lytics, you kind of get what you deserve. But, you know, if you grab a proper BSD distro and you're building a hardened server with it, I mean, it's not like anybody's going to be sitting there trying to play games or run oddball hardware on it. You're building a fucking server system. So it needs to do a handful of things and do it well. And in the Unix-based architecture, whether that's a Linux or a FreeBSD or, as much as I hate to say it, OS X, lends itself to that. And of course, Mac builds a bunch of shit on top of it that you probably don't need for that kind of environment. But
And for all of you crazy Linux people out there, still patch your fucking systems.
Please.
Yeah, I think that if the U.S. government started using, like, say, OpenBSD, OpenBSD would no longer be secure because their whole thing, a lot of it is security through obscurity.
No, because nobody's beating on it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, Apache. The new exploit for that that just came out.
Yeah. So, I mean, nothing's going to be perfect, but in this case, it's more. So, where I'm coming at it from is if you're running a Linux based OS, like, okay, you go out and you download CentOS or Debian,
Mint,
what?
Mint.
If you want to use Mint, that's fine. You're not beholden. The point is, you're not beholden to a company. You can go get the source code for most of the packages in that distro, if not all of them. The ones that you're not going to be able to get are going to be hardware drivers that are bundled up, usually, but there's usually an open source equivalent. So, if you had to tell your support company to fuck off and go block every connection they ever had with you, you could do it. You could take a copy of all that source code in-house, and you could maintain your systems because you would have the code to do it. Now, would you need a lot of expertise and probably a large staff to do so? Yes. Would it be easy and cheap? No. But it's possible.
I mean, you wouldn't be beholden to a company with even Windows 98 anymore.
Well, okay, fair enough. But I wasn't going to advocate for moving our entire government to running off NT, but, you know, hey, if that's what you got to do.
We were speaking about this earlier, where everything has moved along so far that it's a relatively safe environment.
Yeah, the guy that went to DEF CON with Windows XP. That's hard to believe because so many people, so many companies are still using that. How? Boy, I don't know.
Well, DEF CON, you're expecting everybody to be running some flavor of Kali, right?
Yeah, of Kali or...
Or at least Windows 10.
Yeah. Yeah, I, you know what? I am fully behind moving the entire government to Windows 98 and NT.
I'm actually for this just to watch.
Yeah.
I just want to watch. Of course, you know, if you start having people doing development on these 16-bit systems again, I mean, why not? You could write code. It's not like you couldn't write code for Windows NT. It's just nobody's been doing it for a while.
It's all going to shit anyway, so let's just have fun. Watch what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
So, last story I have from tonight is from CNN Tech. YouTube has caused an outcry by shutting down North Korean propaganda channels that were used by researchers to better understand the secretive nature. I'm disappointed because it means you can't get sound clips for use in techno tracks anymore from the North Korean news lady. Because
how am I
going to
get my free biscuits? I don't know when they're handing them out. I can starve and here in America.
And your coffee made from snow.
Yeah. I don't know where the North Korean aid is coming in.
Analysts say the X channels provided vital information to help them follow the movements of Kim Jong-un, advances in North Korean's weapons programs, and other important developments. Basically, this hurts efforts to track activities of interest in a closed country. At the worst possible time, tweeted Joshua Polak. I'm sorry, Polak.
Polak.
I read that a little fast.
That's Polak, you're good.
Non-proliferation expert in the Middlebury Institute of International Studies. Go ahead. You're obviously wanting to interject. No? Okay. Tensions between North Korea and the U.S. have spiked this year as Kim's regime advanced its nuclear weapon program, and Trump responded with fiery rhetoric. Fire and fury. They shuttered YouTube channels, played clips from the state TV and other North Korean content. One channel run by
That guy,
a North Korean government propaganda website. Corey? I don't think my jaw works the right way to say that. I have not eaten enough rice and raw fish to say that word. I'm sorry. Has racked up millions of views. It was terminated due to a legal complaint, according to a short message posted by YouTube. Videos published by that guy's channel have made headlines around the world, including one in 2013 that appeared to show an imagined missile attack on U.S. government buildings in Washington. Seriously, whoever wrote this article obviously didn't have to say that name out loud. North Korean analysts have studied all kinds of footage put out by the channels, searching for clues about missiles and other military hardware. Videos also help them understand what North Korean regime is telling its people and what messages it might be trying to send to foreign governments. These North Korean videos are indispensable sources of information for the outside. Curtis Melvin, a researcher at the U.S.-Korea Institute at Johns Hopkins, wrote in an open letter Tuesday to Google. Melvin told CNN Money that the closure of that guy's channel and a second channel, Tom Poymol, represented a serious loss. Tom Poymol was controlled by ethnic Koreans in Japan who are loyal to Pyongyang, he said. YouTube declined to give a full explanation for taking down the accounts. We love that YouTube is a powerful platform for documenting events and shining light on our dark corners of the world, but we must comply with the law. The spokeswoman said, we disable accounts that repeatedly violate our community guidelines or terms of service when we are required by law to do so. Researchers point out that the channels didn't carry ads, so they weren't making money for the North Korean regime. Yeah, North Korea are getting that sweet YouTube ad money. Kim Jong-un and PewDiePie right there getting going for that gold play button.
I would turn off ad block for that channel if they brought it back.
Yeah, right?
I just need to know where I can go get my damn biscuits.
The North Korean regime was hit with waves of international sanctions. They even cut off its sources of income. They thought it was violating income sanctions.
YouTube would demonetize it, guys. We're good.
Oh, my God. Okay, the reason we're talking about this story on Decking, because, you know, fuck politics, a YouTube channel is potentially violating international sanctions, and they were concerned about YouTube getting ad, or about North Korea getting YouTube ad money. I mean, if you had told me this when I was a kid, that websites would be, you know, dictating international politics, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have gone back to my Q-Link and been like, yeah, fuck off. Nobody pays attention to what happens on the BBSs.
It's no longer hypothetical money anymore.
Right?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind having what Cutie Pie made last month on YouTube. Gosh.
Think how much he's made since he spouted off nigger by accident on one of his live streams.
Multi-millionaire.
I mean, dude has made so much money. And he's making more because he's got people looking at his channel again because he made some controversy. Like, yeah, he's claiming it was an accident. Bullshit. He's just keeping people interested.
YouTube deca-millionaire.
Hey, Morps, you just said it.
Dude.
We should put this on YouTube. Maybe we could get some money.
Yeah, you know, the whole money thing with Galaxy 15 is one of those points of contention that I'd rather just not open.
We would get 6.5 views.
Oh, let's
pull
it up.
Most of them from us.
It's exploding, though, now. The IRC channel has, what, 8 people?
Yeah, we would still get 6 views.
Last time I looked, Decking actually gets a couple of hundred downloads a week. I don't know how much of that is legit versus somebody just playing it on the website and it looking like it's downloading a lot, because you can't, you know, without putting it through some kind of a gateway to control who downloads it, which we don't. I'm literally just throwing a file on a web server, so I have no way of knowing, especially if, like, somebody distributes it or copies it, because that did used to happen. And Madman actually found where somebody had gone through and put Decking on YouTube apparently a few years ago, so...
Yeah, honestly, if Decking got on YouTube, I would probably stop listening. I mean,
just too mainstream for you at that point.
Yeah.
If it was on YouTube, we'd have to, you know, not say the, you know, not say fuck, nigger. They'd want real names. The whole point of the fake names and operating out of Galaxy 15 and not really making a big deal out of it is to be able to do what we want and have fun.
Wait, you mean we're not supposed to use our real names?
Well, oh, that's right. We forgot your parents were really big into SQL injection.
Yeah.
Sorry
yeah.
about that. Syntax drop tables. I forgot that's actually his legal name.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, Cycros is right. We couldn't have racist dojo. I mean, digital dojo.
If yeah.
so.
You know. Racist dojo. I remember when you were looking for that sound clip, you're like, what is the most racist thing that I can use for this? It was funny.
Are you accusing us of being cyberpunk hippies?
I'm old.
We're not left-wing enough to be cyberpunk. Read our hate mail, damn it.
Thank you, Thymaster.
I don't know, that's still pretty racist. I mean, that's like a bunch of anime tropes all just shoved together to make the digital dojo thing.
The gong and me love you long time.
Yeah, those are floating around somewhere too. I should cut up new sound effects for the show. Of course, I guess we could totally sell out and go get like Squarespace ads or some bullshit, right?
yeah. So if you're looking for a domain, go to this arbitrary domain person.
Yeah, if you're looking for a domain, go to superbadguyfuntime.com and click the link. I know it. Your antivirus is going to go nuts. It's a false positive. I promise.
Oh no! Wait, what was the guy from the first one? That domain registrar.
Oh, Peter Sund.
Yeah. We need to get. Yeah, I bet you they'll sponsor G15.
You take one look at it and go, why?
Because we have 6 listeners.
Yeah, are you? We're going to sell hats. We're going to sell hats. They're going to be black with green text that say, make email great again. or even better, make gopher great again.
What are Americans doing these days? Goats. I know, that's going to be a t-shirt. Question on front, answer on the back.
Yeah, we were going to put together a t-shirt shop at one point, weren't we?
Make
we're
going to
build
we're going to build
a firewall. It's going to be huge, and we're going to make Mexico pay for it. Anyways, so for Digital Dojo, Psychro sent me this. It is the equivalent of the AutoPwn script for Metasploit for PowerShell Empire. Apparently, it is a Python script that uses Empire's RESTful API to automate gaining domain admin rights in directory environment as quickly as possible. It's AutoPwn for PowerShell Empire. It's awesome. Okay, I guess it's just Empire now. They quit calling it PowerShell Empire, didn't they?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it's AutoPwn for Empire, written in Python. 3.
Yeah, and Psychros didn't send you that.
Syntax.
What? What did I say?
Syntax. You said Psychros.
You said Psychros.
Syntax sent me that.
Yeah,
no, Syntax sent me that. I've been drinking a lot, and I put carbon fiber PET G in my printer, so fumes.
Yes.
Yeah, anyways, Syntax, I've not played with this. You have. Talk.
So I've only read the thing, and it really seems like it is like push button get domain creds. Like I haven't played with it either yet. It's in my list of things to play with. It sounds neat, and it's they're calling it Death Star. So
Bike Ladder here, I've got his blog post. Ever since Empire and Bloodhound, pentesting extraterrestrials has become pretty straightforward for 95% of the environments he gets dropped in. He finds himself doing the same things over and over again, and when it's happened, it's time to automate. So he wrote a fire and forget script that automatically gets domain admin. So before I continue your rant, getting domain admin should not be the sole scope of your pen test, and if it is, you are doing it wrong. You should be focusing on post-exploitation, so at least this guy knows what he's on about. So what's it actually doing? He's got a flowchart here.
Flowcharts are awesome.
So it's start, is domain admin in a DB? If yes, get domain admin. Our agents running under domain admin? And yes, you have domain admin. New agent. Is it a DC? No. Okay, so he's just got an automated tree going down. Am I domain admin yet? No, try this. Am I domain admin yet? No, try this. So.
Well, hey, it's robust enough to get into Experian.
Well, so that's cool though. He's got some videos showing it kicking off, and he called it Death Star, so there's that. Yeah, I like it, and I'm gonna have to try this out and play with this. So actually, I've been meaning to play with Empire more anyways, so I guess I'll put my server to work, spin up a fake domain, and start doing some real work with Empire. I'd let Madman spit the passwords, but he tends to forget them after he does that, and then I can't get back in my own damn virtual machine. So
that only happened once. I didn't want to use one of the ones I usually use, and I wanted it to be complex.
Well, it was complex, all right. The only problem was it was on a machine that was hardware encrypted, so I couldn't get back in the damn thing. Anyways, like, what are you doing? I'm making a challenge for myself so I can't cheat. It was like, well, it worked. I'm back into the box, but I can't decrypt the hard drive. Fuck. I was still learning. Anyways, yeah. So
I did that too. I locked myself out of my machine that had all my passwords. I don't trust LastPass, so
your password set XLS file was corrupted. Anyways, that's all I got. That's done. Cool. Nice. Anyways, so where's my script? Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday. The Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit is probably the best ways to get feedback to us. Join the IRC. I try to do the show usually in about 9-ish o'clock on Thursdays. Started a little late today, totally my fault, just spaced and lost track of time. Yeah, and we even occasionally recruit from the IRC, as Cyberlard is evidence of. So
that 9-ish is Central Time. Unless you want to go Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah, you should. You should really do Zulu time instead of...
But or, I don't know Pidgin English well enough to read out Zulu time over.
Or even better, do... what is it? Unix Epoch time.
Just read out the Epoch.
Oh, God. Can I Google that and get it like right now?
Yeah, do that.
Do it by a multiple of something.
Oh, yeah. And it's a big number.
Then read out the Active Directory conversion where they do it to the millisecond.
Ugh.
Yeah, that was a bitch.
Yeah.
It has to be an ish, though, because of your 3D printer.
An ish.
Ish, yeah. So, well, Madman, we're waiting.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that I have no script on this thing. When I go to a page I haven't used before, I'm like, why the fuck aren't you loading? You piece of shit machine!
Fucking 50 DKP minus!
Yes.
Oh, God, there are many. Okay. That's thousands. There's millions. 1,505,446,720
seconds is the epoch.
Yeah. Now, is that the time right now, or is that when decking will be next?
Oh, God, I'm not doing that math. Oh, it has a convergence to Greenwich Mean Time.
Which is Zulu time.
Zulu time is Washington.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought
Zulu
it was...
time is the time in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I thought it was Greenwich Mean. Nah, whatever. Nope.
Anyways, that's all I really got. I'm going to play the Pac-Man sound and then stop recording. Cyberlard, final thoughts.
I think I'm going to put my Raspberry Pi that does admin against every site that I find back up. Maybe I can get some social security numbers.
You're probably going to get a lot more than you would like.
Yeah.
You'd probably be like, why does this work so well?
What am I going to do with all this?
I'm going to have to start an international crime spree. Damn it. Madman, closing thoughts.
The only way I'm going to be able to read this millisecond time is if I hit this pause button. And it won't be accurate anymore.
Syntax, closing thoughts.
I don't have closing thoughts. I have future news.
You're trying to get me beat up in the next meetup. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I live thousands of miles away. It's not going to hurt me any. So in future news, I'm going to be... Yeah, the headline is tomorrow that I beat Cyberlord to a criminal empire by just putting... Or by just searching admin in Shodan.
Oh shit, it's on. It's on.
You know, I say that, and Swap has said, I don't know where he's talking about. I've never said he can't do future use, but he's a very large man. And whereas I think I could do okay in a fight with Swap, he's bigger than me. And so there's some concern there. You know, it's kind of a natural thing.
But he's going to apologize the entire time he's beating the shit out of you. I'm going to videotape it. You'll have millions of YouTube views. It'll be hilarious.
We can mod...
And then you'll get thrown off of YouTube for sponsoring...
Violence.
...something. Yeah.
I wonder if Death Star can get me into TransUnion. I may be able to retire in a week.
All right. That's it.